This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show. Ahead, the WHL observing and honoring National Truth and Reconciliation Day. We'll hear from two WHL Aboriginal players, Jet Lajoie and Zachary Chance, on what the Orange Jersey Project means to them. Countless Blazer forward Nathan Boehm is the Tempo WHL Player of the Week. We'll introduce you to this multi-sport athlete eligible for the 2025 NHL Draft. The Victoria Royals enter a new season, the first full year for head coach James Patrick with the organization. We'll hear from him and more on budding 16-year-old defenseman Keaton Verhoff. Andrew Everett, it wasn't cowbells, it was wedding bells at the rink. We'll tell you about a fun story later in the show. First up. The WHL is observing and honoring National Truth and Reconciliation Day. Each player is wearing the orange Every Child Matters helmet decal while a moment of silence is being taken in games to recognize the day and the orange shirt movement. Two players in the WHL with Aboriginal heritage spoke to Cammy Koepke of the WHL, Zach Chance of the Regina Pats, and Jet Lajoie of the Prince George Cougars. Chance from Northern Alberta spent some of his youth on the reserve. He opened his season with a bang in Prince Albert.
Old Temple centers it. Chance fires, scores! Zachary Chance and the Regina Pats win it in overtime on opening night.
A Chance starting to make an impact in the WHL with some strong bloodlines.
All my family was always in hockey. I think my dad definitely was a big part of that. Kind of, I was always just in the hockey, playing since I was like three, started skating.
He says the Orange Shirt Project resonates with him and his family.
It means so much to me, just seeing all the people come together. I think that's what it's about, just coming together. My grandfather was in a residential school, so just playing for him and thinking about him on those games. But I think the Orange Shirt stuff is so cool. I think just getting more people involved, and I think it's just making an easier way of making people aware of what's going on.
Zach grew up looking up to several Aboriginal hockey players.
Jordan Tutu. He's only a year older than me, but I played a hockey tournament with Keaton Dauhanyuk. He plays on Prince George. He was someone I looked up to. I think he was 15 when we played in a tournament together, and just knowing how he got there and where he came from and stuff like that just made it a little bit more eye-opening for me.
And now with Zach, that is the role model.
Yeah, for sure. I think just thinking about that, how cool that is, you know, having kids look up to me, I think just trying to set a good example as I can.
Meanwhile, Jet Lajoie, the Prince George Cougars, is also out to a good start to his season. It's a big year for both him and the team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty excited. I just got to keep doing what I'm doing, I guess, and hopefully my summer pays off, and yeah, really looking forward to it.
Growing up, hockey was very much a part of the culture for Jet on Muskeg Lake Cree Nation.
I mean, I've been playing native tournaments all my life, and those are tough. Those are hard, gritty playing, but, you know, they're pretty fun. One player that I really looked up to was Jordan Tutu. I love that guy. He unreal with his fists. Yeah, he's a fighter, and I like that. He's a gritty player, and yeah, I admire him a lot.
He says the orange shirt and the symbol for National Truth and Reconciliation Day is important.
I enjoy seeing other people wear them, too. Really means a lot. See everybody just come together and just put that logo on and just, yeah, shout out Indigenous people. Yeah, the league's doing a good job. A lot of leagues are doing a good job putting it out there with the decals and the jerseys. So I think if they just keep that up, then that puts a smile on everybody's face.
For a third consecutive season, WHL clubs are recognizing Orange Shirt Day and the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation in partnership with the Orange Shirt Society. Through Sunday, WHL clubs and officials will sport helmet decals depicting the WHL Truth and Reconciliation logo, which was designed by Métis artist Kim Vizzy Carmen of Pine Rock Graphics. The placement of the WHL Truth and Reconciliation logo on the helmet of players serves to generate awareness for Orange Shirt Day and the National Day Day for Truth and Reconciliation. And fans will also see in-venue programming, including a moment of silence to commemorate the legacy of residential schools in Canada.
The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
A Kamloops Blazer forward Nathan Boehm had quite the weekend. His first WHL hat trick, 4 goals, 2 assists, and his first Tempo WHL Player of the Week award. Nathan, it's more than just hockey for the Calgary native. I spoke to him about the weekend and the season ahead.
Yeah, it was cool. Cool to get the hat trick and nice to get the win also. I thought our team played great that night, and yeah, it was fun.
You know, I think back, you kind of just act like you scored before. I think I know you've scored goals growing up here, but one thing I like about you is that you're pretty casual about everything. Where does that come from?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I've always kind of been pretty casual when I scored, acting like I've done it before and just wanting to go out there and score again. So yeah, I just don't take it too seriously when I score because I want to go out there and do it again.
You know, for me, it almost looks like you're doing things effortless. Like you're gifted as far as your ability to play this game. And you go out there and you don't really look like you're working all that hard, but you're getting a lot done here. Have you been told that before? Is that a comparison you've heard before?
Yeah, I think with me being a bigger guy and a good skater, it almost looks like I'm not striding a lot, but whereas I'm actually going fast because I don't take as many strides to get like across the rink per se.
Yeah, you've got improved, I think, your speed to go wide and beat defenders this year. Nathan, this is your 17-year-old season, and winning an honor like this is always great. It's your draft year as well. Where were you when you heard the news that you were Player of the Week?
Yeah, well, I just got off the ice, and we were just all getting ready to go home, and everyone was kind of telling me that I won, and so it was pretty cool to see it with all the boys too.
That's a lot of tags. That's a lot of mentions here the last couple of days here on Instagram and Facebook for sure here for you. But it's great that you're out to this good start here. Nathan, where do you see yourself fitting in with this team as far as in the lineup? You're 17. Sometimes you don't get the opportunities at 17 to be an impact guy, but I think you got the chance here to be an impact guy.
Yeah, for sure. I think we have a couple guys missing right now, but once we get everyone back, we're going to be really strong and really competitive. And I think I'm a good top six guy who can contribute offensively and all special teams and stuff, so yeah.
Quite the story that happened earlier this year before you came to training camp. You won a national long drive competition, which made headlines back in Calgary. I know that there was a bunch of TV interviews for you and things like that. You've always golfed all your life, but tell me the story here. You just decided to kind of enter. This was the first competition of the sort that you've done before. Tell me the story.
Yeah, well, I played golf for pretty much my whole life, but nothing like competitive really, and I've always hit the ball kind of a long way. I don't really train for golf or anything, so I just decided to enter in a competition and ended up winning it.
You didn't have like the proper equipment, or you know, a lot of these guys are on a circuit or a tour. There just happened to be an event in Edmonton that was a national tour event here, so you just sign up your name here like a Happy Gilmore type thing, or how did that work?
Yeah, well, you got to pay like a $50 entry fee, and then you kind of have it kind of gives you a recommendation about like the qualifying yards. I think it was like 275 or something. And then, yeah, I didn't have the correct like special long drive tees or anything, so I had to buy them when I was there and just ended up winning. And it was kind of cool. Just, yeah, everyone else was kind of like on like the long drive circuit, and I didn't really know anyone there, so they thought it was pretty cool too.
Yeah, and you know, all of a sudden you win it. How far did you hit it there in competition?
340.
Okay, 340. All right, so that's an under-18 national champion. You actually advanced to Worlds, which I think are like later this month in the States, but you got some Blazer games, I think, here to play here. So you won't be going to Worlds, or what's the story?
Yeah, no, unfortunately not. Maybe I'll do another competition next year, though, but yeah, just playing hockey now.
You know, you grew up playing all sports, and that's something, you know, I think that's in a bit of a debate right now, is should you focus on one sport? Should you play hockey year-round, spring hockey, all that? But that wasn't really the case for you. Like, you tell me all the sports you played growing up and what you like.
Yeah, well, I played pretty much every sport. I played all the racket sports, tennis. My dad was a college tennis player, so I was out on the court a lot. Squash, badminton, swimming, basketball, baseball, golf, just about anything you can think of. So I think it helped with my hockey, all the hand-eye stuff, and just all the cross-training. It was good.
Yeah. Is there a sport? If hockey's number one, what would be number two, do you think?
Baseball, for sure. I actually played in the Little League World Series for baseball when I was 12 and 13, so I've pretty good at baseball. So
yeah, you know, you think you've lived a life in sports already at your young age here. So if it wasn't hockey for you think baseball would have been something you would have pursued?
Yeah, I think so. I still keep it up in the summer too. I still practice it a little bit, so I think if hockey didn't work out, I'd for sure be on the diamond.
All right. Well, probably that would be quite the story to follow here. It's early in the season here. This team's about to play five straight on the road, Nathan, through to the U.S. Lots of games here ahead for this team here. What'll be the focus for this group as they move into the road part of their schedule?
Yeah, it'll be a tough stretch. Lots of games, some teams that we haven't faced yet. So I think it'll be a good test for us. And we're just going to keep trying to build off that Seattle game and keep trying to get some wins.
Nathan, congratulations on being the player of the week. Not a bad start to your season. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks.
You're listening to the WHL This Week, Radio Edition.
The Victoria Royals are off to a quick start on top of the BC Division. Head coach James Patrick, he took over last November. He has a team now he can work with from the beginning of training camp through the end of the season. I spoke to Patrick earlier this week.
James, when you had the season come to an end and you have the summer, what were you thinking about as the number one or number two things that you wanted to have the Royals be better at this season?
Well, I was looking forward to having a training camp. A hard training camp with a lot more compete and a lot more battle drills. So, I mean, that was when I came to the team in November, I felt that was something they were lacking. And when you get to, impart that on them right off the bat, maybe it goes a little longer. And then obviously every year's new. You got new players. You got you got probably 10 guys, 10, 11 returning players, and you got almost 10, 11 new players. So you want to, for me, with this team where they are right now, and by that I mean their talent level, the ages, and what the strength of the team right now, they're going to, for us to have success, it has to be by committee, it has to be by work ethic, it has to be by competing harder. So that was probably, I think that's what I wanted to get that message across. I felt making the playoffs was a real good step for this team. It was a great experience for all the returning players. It was to play against Portland, who went right to the finals in the league and were a veteran team who played a real fast, hard they stretch the ice around. They play a real quick transition game. And it was and I'll just tell you this. The first three games, every game was a one-goal game. Every game we were in. I wouldn't be far off saying I think we should have won game one. I really, we had a lead with like 7 or 8 minutes left. And, maybe our inexperience caught up to us, our youth caught up to us. But it was a great experience. And hopefully they gained some knowledge on how hard you have to play to play playoff hockey, how hard you have to be on pucks. You want to play a fast game. You want to have a good transition. We didn't have the skill that Portland did, but they played hard. I was real happy with how we worked. So you want to build off of that and take that into the next season.
James, any thought on where Victoria fits into the division this year? We have a couple of teams that are in the CHL top 10 to start in Kelowna and Prince George. Where do you see yourself in this division?
A real good question. I mean, I believe we can be an improved team from last year. Just with our, like every team, the teams that they're your 16 and 17 and 18 year olds are 1 year older. And what have they learned and how much better have they gotten from 7 months ago, and have they gotten stronger and faster over in the off season with their training? So I think we're better in that regards. I do think our young depth is an improvement over what was here last year. I do feel better about the third and fourth line. I'll admit that. When we're healthy, I think our top 4D are the strength of the team. So where do we fit? It's too early for me to really tell because I don't know how good the other teams are. I will say this. We played Kelowna last night. I thought they outchanced us real close. I mean, my chances were 11-10, and so it was close. But I thought they were first two periods the better team. And when they get their three, they're missing their three best players. When they get them back, they're obviously going to be a real tough team to handle. But I felt we, certainly with the lineup they dressed, we could play with that team. We can be competitive with them. I think for the most part, we can be a little more competitive against the better teams. If you say two teams are clearly above everyone else, I would love to see us fighting in the middle of the pack. But I really won't know for probably another 2 months.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned young depth. I don't know if you call Keaton Verhoef depth. He's 16, but he's out to a great start. He is a high-end defenseman. Tell us more about Keaton Verhoef.
Well, we were fortunate because of injuries. He got to play 9 league games last year, then played the 4 playoffs. And I will say in the 4 playoff games, he was probably our best defenseman in 2 of them. And played top 4, he played outstanding, put it that way. He has not missed a beat. He's better now. He's a 16-year-old, 200-pounder with fantastic work ethic. And, when you talk about this kid's a fantastic kid and works so hard and so respectful and wants to learn, wants to get better. We all see him. We've been around them. That's who he is. And he was our best player in camp. Yes, he's played well these, first 3 games and first 2 games. He tied both games. In one game, he won in overtime and played 30-plus minutes, but was really good in that time. Yesterday's game, he was really good. He tried to do too much. He made a couple of mistakes, tried to do too much. But before that, every day we said he's by far the best player in camp. He can skate, he can finish, he can join, he can move the puck, he sees the open man. So really well-rounded two-way defenseman who's fortunate that he's got size. And he's also one of those kids, you look at him from behind and the shoulders are bursting out of the shirt and the lats are, he's got a body to match it. And yes, super excited about him. But also want to just let him play. I want to let him go out and have fun and play. And we're real happy with the work ethic. Yes, we want to teach him and push him and work on the areas he needs to improve. But it's exciting right now, and we really look forward to where his game could hopefully someday get to.
From the drop of the puck to the Edschanout Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
Well, this isn't something you see every day. Usually, Everett is the land of cowbells. Last week, it was the land of wedding bells, as 2 members of the Everett Silvertips ice crew got married at the rink, Josh and Eloise Pollock. And Josh says after their engagement, they definitely wanted to keep hockey in their wedding plans.
I wanted something hockey-related because it's just so important to us. And when it came time for the venue, picking out the wedding location, originally we wanted to be those people and do it on the ice, just cause one, it's hockey related. It's important to both of us, but, also it's just the team themselves. They were important to each one of us individually before we even knew each other.
Wedding night was last weekend. The 2 were married in the ballroom at Angel of the Winds Arena and then went on to carry out their ice crew duties, yes, in the tux and wedding dress.
It was unreal.
It was great.
We skate on that ice all the time to shovel or play on it. And it's still even though it's only a major junior team in ice, it's still cool because the amount of people that go from this level to the next that have skated on the same ice, how cool it was just growing up being able to look at that ice and just being wow, it's a really cool spot, it's really special, and just having all that emotion and then the added emotion of beautiful woman is my wife, and for the first time we're on this ice as husband and wife together, just a special moment in a special place. It was very overcome with emotion.
Josh and Eloise thanking the Silver Tips for taking part in their special night.
The whole organization all around just was super inclusive and super happy to make us feel super special, which was just it was just world class. It was really, really cool.
They definitely made us feel the love.
And thanks to Cammie Koepke with the WHL for tracking down that story. And remember, Josh, happy wife, happy life. That's the show this week. I'm John Keane. Thanks for listening.